Officially, today is the second Sunday in the season of End Times. It's also part of our ongoing celebration of the 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation. And so today in worship we look at the Day of Judgment in light of grace alone. The question, how shall I stand in that great day? And the answer? The only answer does not rely on human works in any way, but on the grace of our Lord in Jesus Christ. On that great day when Jesus returns, for the Christian, it's a joyful thing. It's a day to look forward to, a day of reunion with our Lord and with the believers who have passed away before us, and a day when all sin and death and pain will be just a figment of yesterday's imagination. It will be forgotten, or at least not remembered in a way that causes any pain, but only brings glory to our Lord. And so we look briefly at Christ's words from Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right, and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was lacking clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or lacking clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? The king will answer them, Amen, I tell you, just as you did it for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me. Then he will say to those on his left, Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire which is prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you did not give me food to eat. I was thirsty, and you did not give me anything to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me, lacking clothes, and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison, and you did not take care of me. Then they will also answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or lacking clothes, or sick, or in prison, and did not serve you? At that time he will answer them, Amen, I tell you, just as you did not do it for one of the least of these, you did not do it for me. And they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. And so, the question that day, between the separation between believer and unbeliever, and the role of works, where does it all fit? Well, first we see that our Lord separates them as a shepherd separates sheep from the goats. The separation takes place before he even says a word about works. And so we recognize that on the last day, as today, our standing in God's eyes is based entirely on his grace. That is to say, God's undeserved love for sinners found only in Jesus and communicated to you through the means of grace, that is the gospel in word and sacrament. And so that terrifying day when Jesus says, you know, the world's going to be running around saying to the mountains, fall on us and to the hills, cover us. Even as believers throughout scripture have fallen down in terror at the appearance of a mere angel, when our Lord returns, his words to you and to me, lift up your heads, your redemption is drawing nigh. Wow. Because that's how solid and certain and comprehensive God's grace to you is. That God has commissioned you and made it so that you will be able to stand before him, he who alone is holy. And God will not see or remember anything that has been a strike against you. He will not. He has promised to forget the sin that we have. He has wrapped you in Christ and clothed you with Christ, so that on that day he will say, Dear friend, come over here, stand on my right side, with the rest of the sheep. And then after that, after he's already made that separation and he's kind of pronounced the sentencing, you know, the sentencing of a courtroom judgment scene, then he's going to hold up what you have done in this life and say, isn't this a beautiful thing that I did through you? Isn't this a beautiful thing? Visiting the sick, taking care of the needy, giving a glass of cold water, visiting those in prison. And to our eyes, we might not notice it, might not give it a second thought, might, you know, don't even notice it. Look at what they say. Lord, when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, and sick and in prison, lacking clothes and clothe you? That's the exact same question that the unbelievers answer. Even the believers don't really recognize the good works that God is doing through them. But the difference, you know, the unbelievers, they may have tremendous good works of feeding millions. You know, Bill Gates donating his billions to philanthropic efforts. Obviously, I don't know him well enough to comment on his spiritual welfare. But on that last day, when Christ returns, he will say, dear friend, come enjoy your master's happiness. That's grace. You have not earned it. You have not deserved it, but it is given to you purely and solely because Jesus lived and died and rose for you. This Jesus is your judge. He is also your advocate, your mediator. And now, the last words before the final separation, he takes us to heaven, takes us away from every bit of sin and death and evil and pain. His final words, dear Christian, here's what you did. Doesn't look like much to the world, but you did it for me. Come enjoy your master's happiness. Well done, good and faithful servant. To have the words of your Lord echoing in your ears for all eternity. Well done, good and faithful servant. I'll ask you this. How does that change the way you approach your Christian life today? You're already standing in grace. God has qualified you for your eternal inheritance. And at the end of time, he's going to hold up even the tiniest little things that you might not even notice you do. With those words ringing in your ears for all eternity, I think that would be more than enough reason to say, Lord, just give me a few more days so I can do a few more things for you. Lord, give me a few more opportunities. Give me a few more words that I might be able to serve those around me in love. And somehow, perhaps, hopefully, to speak of your grace. Grace alone. God bless your day.
Jerusalem, the golden.
Thanks for listening to Green Pastures with Jesus, the audio home of Shepherd of the Lakes Lutheran Church of Fairmont, Minnesota. If you like what you just heard, we hope you'll pass along our website, www.shepherdofthelakes.net. Pass that along to your friends and colleagues. Be sure to check out our archives section at our website for previous podcasts. You can find us 9:30 a.m. Sunday mornings at 323 East 1st Street in Fairmont, just up the hill from Richard's Towing. Any questions, contact me, Pastor Hagen, 507-236-9572. God bless your day.
What bliss beyond compare.